Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is Three and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for Three and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show that everybody in the SEC wants to listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. 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 All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, even though no one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It is Three and Out, Monday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Julia Ramsey, full house for you today as we recap Tennessee's orange and white game from the weekend.
Woo! Woo-wee! Woo!
We break down the Masters.
Hello, friends. What a Masters indeed.
And get into all the other smaller
news and notes.
Less important.
We'll call them.
I don't know. A lot of stuff happened.
I know.
Your boy.
A lot of news and notes.
No, I mean, somebody's back, but I don't know what's more important for us. Is it Tiger or is it your boy, Will Wade?
It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip to see who's more back. Probably Tiger.
Maybe we can call him.
But
the,
also Will Wade.
The Bengal Tiger.
There you go. It's a Tiger edition of the show.
There you go. Striped.
It's a striped edition
and
of
ready,
the show.
Ready to roll.
Stripe the stadium, they say. Well, I don't know. Where do you start today?
What?
Do we go local big story or local big national story big time?
I think we got to start with the Masters.
Okay. Doida!
Well, first of all, it was a historic day, I felt like, even before it started.
Interesting.
Because Saturday hits. Saturday's moving day. There were a lot of guys that went way up the leaderboard on Saturday. From guys you know and you know and love to guys you've never heard of.
Yes.
The Xanders of the world, you know. The
Xander.
It was
never trust a man named Xander.
Moving day was pretty incredible on Saturday, and then you had the announcement come.
Let's move it up.
Going to tee off 7:30 a.m. I'm going to start the broadcast at 9. The leaders going to tee off at 9:20 a.m. on Sunday, going in groups of three and going off the back.
Start.
I mean, I look
shotgun at, start.
No, it's not a
kind of a shotgun start.
It's not a shotgun.
It's a two-hole shotgun start, we call it.
A double barrel.
Yeah, it's a double barrel shotgun start.
Anyway,
maybe double rifle, because the shotgun, you know, it's a multi-blast. These were just two bullets.
I mean, even
one,
just
nine.
The schedule was kind of fascinating. I pulled the schedule up after they made that or had the tee time set. I was like, this is pretty wild, because the leaders were, you know, all going off the front, so they worked them backwards from 9:20, and then the front half of the field. The losers were going off of
take that
10 to start, which would just feel really weird on Sunday at Augusta to go through the two par fives after survive 12, you play the two par fives and try and make at least birdie on those, Then there's 16, a great birdie opportunity. Then you try and survive 17 and 18. Oh, now you get the front nine.
And welcome to the part of the golf course that no one ever sees.
Yeah. But, of course, none of that mattered by early afternoon, as it was Tiger Woods. It was Francesco Molinari. They're hitting, they say.
Little fish. Loves that water.
There are a lot of cliches in sport. But the ones about the Masters, they feel like they come true more than any other. I mean, they say the Masters doesn't begin until the second nine on Sunday. Like, I mean,
seemed right.
You could have tuned in, and actually, I was watching on my phone a little bit earlier in the day, but I got settled, kind of officially settled, around 10, 11, and like that, and I feel like I saw the whole thing.
Whole 10 and 11 or 10 and 11 o'clock?
No, the whole 10 and whole 11 with the leaders.
Just making sure.
And I felt like I saw the whole thing. I watched some of the groups ahead of those guys, you know, falter at 12. 12 killed people, by the way. There's no win.
Was it 5 out of 6 that just dunked it? I was like, what the hell's going on this thing?
There's no win at 12 today. Splash. No win at 12. Splash.
It was like, stoink, roll, drink. Stoink, roll, drink. 5 out of 6. Tiger was the only guy who did it. They said he went to the Jack Nicklaus approach. He said, up, going right between the big bunker. Just aiming for it. Going to put it on the green. Because everybody else, stoink, roll, drink. Every time.
If you hit it short, Koepka going over the bunker, at least it goes in the bunker. Trying to roll back in.
Koepka, Molinari, Finau. Who was with Koepka? Didn't someone else in Koepka's group do it? Was it 4 out of 6?
Poulter, right?
Yeah. So was Poulter? It was 4 or 5 out of 6.
Who else was with Koepka?
I don't know. I just know they kept showing 12, and it
Webb
was
Simpson was the other guy with Koepka. I don't know if he did too.
I can't remember. It's just like everybody was going to that little chip drop spot, and it was just. Did you see? By the way, what was the first hole Molinari hit it in the water? When he hits the tree going across and the pine cone falls out?
That was.
Did you see? He had to take his drop right next to that damn pine cone.
No, that's brutal.
It was awful. I don't even think they mentioned it on TV. Hits the tree, pine cone falls out of the tree, ball goes in the water. He has to take his drop right next to the little pine cone that ruined his day.
I'd have picked that thing up and thrown it in the water.
That's what I said. I was like, you got to kick that thing in the water. You got to even out the universe here. He just put it on the ground, popped it right over. Bad juju.
That was
15. Can't do that.
He did that at 12 and then 15. Put it in the water both places.
Brutal. Just brutal. And they were like, I think it hit a tree. I'm like, you think it hit a tree? It didn't even make it halfway across the pond. You think it hit a tree?
It like you and I out on the right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, chunky, this ain't splash.
Me, yeah, this ain't me mudding up a pigeon wedge here. Like, this thing hit something.
At first, he's like, I think he hit it fat. I'm like, he didn't hit that fat.
Well, no, because you could hear the crowd. He hits it, and they're like, oh. Yeah. And I was like, oh, no. Splash. Yeah, they didn't even make it halfway across. And then Nick Faldo and all of his infinite genius. I think that might have hit something in the tree there.
I knew it hit something immediately because when he hit the ball, if you listen to the sound again, he hits the ball,
double click,
it clips the tree. Mm. I didn't hear that, but I heard a.
Yeah, that was what I was saying. That's what I heard.
Then the splash, and then the big groan.
There was a big like, yeah, big sound effect when it hit the tree that wasn't it hitting the tree, and I just thought, no way. Splash.
You know who had pushed all their chips in on the table on Molinari. I mean. Figuratively, hear from the Fan Run crew.
Who's that?
He had become John Reed's favorite. Like, not favorite, like betting favorite, like he thought he was going to win. He had just become like.
You can't trust
like
fish.
Like John Reed had said on Friday, like, I just love the way I just love his name, love everything about him. And he's like, you know, he's like, my guy, Molinari's right there. And then.
Yeah, your guy.
Splash. Trees, splash.
Everyone kept saying he's unshakable.
Yeah.
Not so much.
He blew any chance he had, not with the tree shot, but his layup, that it went so far left over there into the. Like anyone else has just been, when they lay up, they just hack that thing out.
Yeah.
And it's anywhere down there. It's fine.
Just not under the trees, buddy. Can't do it. Mm. Yep. Francisco Molinari, the Ferrari, they kept calling him.
Finished tied for fifth. 74.
Yikes.
It's one of the worst rounds of Sunday. I mean,
he would have been all right if not for the two in the water.
You got to go Wade. I mean, you know, Adam Scott, who kind of fell apart, still only shot 73.
I think that's what made this one so weird is this had elements of Old Tiger, which is where everybody playing with and around him starts to kind of press and panic. The only difference was it's not like he was making every incredible shot, every incredible putt. He even said it 1,000 times in all of his post-round interviews, I was just plodding my way around the golf course. I was just trying not to hit a double bogey.
Well, all these guys shot good rounds. They just I mean, the course was actually pretty easy because mm-hmm. of all the moisture. So, I mean, you know, Dustin Johnson, Xander, Schauffele, they both shot 68. I mean, that's pretty strong work. Just wasn't, you know, just one shot short. Brooks Koepka shot 70. I mean, you feel like he let opportunities go by. He still shot 70. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't. I mean, Molinari was the guy that had the lead going in, and he's the one guy that it was really helpful for Tiger that he fell apart. Other than that, yeah. He just kind of needed to outpace everybody. And
I'm not saying – I mean, Molinari did fall apart. I still think Tiger plays a little differently if he doesn't. I mean, I still think there were a couple –
He definitely doesn't bogey 18.
Right. There were a couple scoring opportunities where you could tell Tiger was kind of like, okay, I'm going to – play for par here. I'm going to play for bogey here. I'm not going to try to sink this putt and have it go racing 8 feet by and then, you know, set myself up for disaster. I'm just going to play smart golf. And it was weird how often he would lose a hole and then it really benefited him to hit third or hit second behind Molinari and Finau, because it seemed like every time Tiger would make a mistake, they would let their guard down and make an even bigger mistake, and he was able to capitalize because, oh, they're both in the woods? Well, I'll just chuck one down there, and we'll just play this hole straight up. And then he would, you know, typically win the hole. It was like every time he made a mistake, they would make a bigger mistake. I was watching. I was like, man, he needs to kind of trick them into making another mistake by hitting one in the woods that he can stick up there on the green. That's exactly what he did. I can't remember what number it was. Coming downhill, and he's off the view back up the fairway is him in the left behind the trees.
11?
Was it 11? But he has a pretty good shot. He ends up putting it on the green, like really close, with a little stinger fade. But they both were way to the left because I think they were just like, oh yeah, Tiger's way off in the woods. Nothing to worry about. We just get it on and we'll steal the stroke here. Nope. Tiger was ready. He baited him. Bait and switch. It was a great round by him. It was the perfect round. No huge mistakes. Did I hear him say he didn't make a double all week? No double bogeys on the card?
He definitely impressive. Didn't Sunday. I don't know.
It's impressive.
I mean,
that's what he had to do.
Yeah, he birdied three of the second nine holes. I mean, he had the bogey at 18, which didn't matter. He would have played that a lot more aggressively
sure.
if Koepka had made his birdie there and closed the. I thought we were going to be in for some crazy drama if Koepka could have made his putt, and I think we would have been. I mean, it would have been like it was like Tiger hitting driver on 18 with only a one shot lead would have been a lot more tense, right? I mean, he hits three wood, he's way back, and then he kind of bails out on his iron shot, then he just plays the chip to the safe spot, and then he just two putts it down there. So, but anyway, he bogeyed 18, which didn't really matter. He also bogeyed 10. But he birdied the two par fives. It's like it's like on the second nine, you have to find you have to either birdie the two par fives or if you mess up one of those opportunities, make up for it somewhere on a harder hole, and then you got to find at least one more birdie. And a lot of guys were doing that on some on 14, obviously 16.
That's when I knew 100%.
Well, everybody that came to 16 that had played the par fives really well, or like I think it was Koepka that had a double bogey on maybe that was 12, but then he eagled one of the par fives, so it kind of balanced it out. But every big-time guy that had an opportunity to really kind of get ahead and post a number and make it a little scary, they all hit their ball either too far to the right on 16 or too long. They never could hit it center of the green where it catches the slope and roll down. Tiger gets there, boom, he hits it.
I thought it was in when it landed. I thought – that's going to be just about perfect. And when it turned back and started trickling down there, I was really hoping it got just a maybe like a what were those things called? The little yellow that come off pine trees. I was hoping it just hit one of those and just kicked to the left just a little bit.
It's an S word, isn't it?
I don't remember. Well, I mean, what was he, like 8 inches to the right of the cup?
It was
and
close.
Then only like 2 feet by? I mean, it was perfect. And that was the moment I think everyone watching really took the deep breath and kind of settled in for this is really happening now. This is really about to happen. Because then obviously he just taps in the birdie, and at that point you're just kind of playing hang on and don't make a mistake. But I don't know, there were some guys ahead of him that were still kind of charging hole ahead. I mean, well, it was
Shoffley and Koepka, they needed to make one more birdie and put the pressure on him for sure, and they couldn't do it. Well, actually, I think Shoffley bogeyed 18. I think he just could have made par and been one shot. If he birdies 18, he could have been. That's what those guys needed to be. Somebody needed to post a score 2 shots ahead of Tiger, with him only having 3 to play, because it's not that hard to birdie 16 if you just. I mean, it's just one shot, right? You find that ridge in the middle of the green, you get to track down near the hole, and it's a birdie. But finding another one on 17 or 18 when you know you have to have it is really, really tough. And they just – nobody could do it. It was pretty incredible. I think now that he's won, it'll just make golf so much better. Like, he doesn't even have to win another major necessarily soon, but now any moment that he's even sniffing contention, everybody's going to be, you know, tuning in. I remember reading A Good Walk Spoiled. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes book about, you know, the PGA Tour.
It's a classic golf reference.
Well, yeah, so that's the title of John Feinstein's book, but it's a quote by Mark Twain. Golf is just a good walk spoiled. But it kind of talked about this, and I think about every time we see a situation like yesterday. It's funny how in golf – people always cheer for the favorite. Whereas if it's like an NCAA tournament game, they typically pull for the underdog. In fact, we pull for the underdog story in lots of different things, but in golf, people just gravitate towards the favorite. I saw tons of tweets yesterday.
Yeah, but I mean, wasn't kind of like Tiger's kind of both now in a weird way.
Well, he was yesterday. That's why I was so crazy.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that was his first ever, if I'm not mistaken, is that the first time he's ever come back on a Sunday? Down when Sunday started to win a major. I know he hadn't done it at the Masters before. Normally he's always been tied on Sunday or had a lead.
I'm with you.
I know he'd never done it at Augusta.
The Masters, but.
So to overcome a 2-shot deficit on Sunday at the Masters, that's historic. I mean, he'd never done it before. So if you want to say underdog, he wasn't supposed to do that. He also wasn't supposed to win a major again. He wasn't supposed to play golf at a high level again after all the back surgeries and knee surgery. So it's weird because here we have this star, this superstar that just disappeared off the face of the golf earth. And now he's back in contention. And you saw it last year. Like, he flashed a couple of times where you're thinking, oh, is this going to be it? Is this going to be it? For him to come back and win it this year at Augusta in the way he did it, with so many other great golfers playing the way they were playing this week. Man, like, that's not supposed to happen. So he kind of was the underdog. He's also the biggest star in golf. It's weird. I mean, his odds were good. Don't get me wrong. He was, what, 14-1? Rory was 8-1. I mean, he was right there. He was, you know, fourth or fifth best odds to win this tournament.
So in that way, he's kind of a favorite.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird. But he's kind of battled himself back into this position. Still, it's just hard to win this tournament. And I think a lot of his past experience and just knowing the course, being familiar with it, I think that really was the difference. Like, having been in these moments and knowing when to press, when to try to make something happen, and when to, as he just said, plod along the golf course, take your par, and move on. I think that was it was weird. It was like all the experience that he had from when he was, you know, the elite golfer in the world, kind of helped him play. I mean, he shot a 70. It wasn't average golf. But it's not like he had to go, you know, he didn't post some 66 crazy round out there. He played smart. And he didn't, was it Saturday that the guy slid into his leg? Or was that Friday?
I think it was Friday.
Security guard rushes down, trying to protect him from the patrons.
Grayson Allen, they called him.
Grayson Allen. Felt like Grayson Allen.
Dropped 40.
Didn't have any spikes on. goes to plant, slides right into his ankle. I feel like old Tiger would have just beat that dude to death with a club. Had him fired. Tiger didn't even turn around and look. Tiger knew. He's like, okay, that was an accident. My ankle kind of hurts. I'm going to hop this off. I'm going to go over here and stretch it. And then before he has his birdie putt, he's over there giggling with his caddy. Like, you see that? That guy tripped me. That guy slid into my ankle. I mean, that could have been that could have been the end of the tournament for him. If that guy slides 3 seconds earlier and hits him in the knee, over. Done. Maybe career. And instead, he just shakes it off, sinks the birdie putt, which was impressive. Like, it didn't break his concentration. And then he goes on to win the tournament. We said it Friday. After his Thursday round, you could tell he's like, I'm driving the golf ball really well. I think I'm going to be all right. I think I'm going to be just fine.
It's a perfect course for him.
And sure enough.
Because when he drives it well, like, he can score. And when his driver isn't going well, there's ways to escape and still make
par. Well, that's the thing. You can hit it in the woods here. We saw everybody seem to do, oh, wayward tee shot. He's way out there. Oh, clear shot to the green. No problem.
It's amazing.
In fact, one of his drives that wasn't that bad, it wasn't that far off the fairway at all, was the worst one because he just had to kick it back out into the fairway because it landed right behind a magnolia tree. The other guys are 50 feet to the right of where he was, but they've got a clear path to where they can knock it down towards the green. But he didn't need it that much. I've never watched Tiger in a golf tournament and seen the shots go straighter off the tee more consistently than this one. Now, he doesn't have the distance anymore. I mean, he's getting outdriven by Calamari here, right? I mean, like, Finau's bombing him past him when he can keep it straight. And it didn't matter. It's like, take your 20 yards. Take your 30 yards. I know this golf course. I'm at least hitting it straight now. I'm going to win it with my irons. I'm going to win it with my putter. And he really didn't even putt that great either.
Well, he started – he had missed some short putts, though, during the week. Like, he was –
right, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Saturday like, or – he started making everything inside – at least inside 10 feet.
Saturday.
You know, he was, like, one of the worst golfers inside 10 feet, like this
– I don't doubt
or
it.
Or, like, last year or something.
Go back and watch highlights of that Thursday round. I mean, he's missing just, like, 6, 7, 8 footers like it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
Still posts a 70. I mean, I think that's why he was so confident. He said – it's like, if I can get one day where the putter's working, if I can get one day, that's like 3 or 4 strokes I'm going to get back.
Well, the reason all these guys hit it past him now is because
he's too old.
No, he changed the game. Like, everybody bombs it now because Tiger Woods.
That's what he says. Like, they're all working out now. I don't have that advantage. Did you hear him?
Like, Tony Finau, like, grew up, or, you know, his hero is Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And he's like, standing right there beside him.
That when they asked him that in the it wasn't the Butler Cavan interview, it was the big media session. They were like, What's your legacy to golf? He's like, I think I've changed the way people prepare for this game. He's like, I was the only one in the gym when I started playing. I was the only one working out. I was the only one doing bench press. I was the only guy doing that stuff. Now look at these guys. They're all in really good shape. Mm-hmm. Brooks Koepka lost 30 pounds. He's a monster.
Yeah.
John Daly had his own kind of workout.
John Daly is the prime example of what Tiger Woods changed. Like, kick John Daly out of golf, too fat, too many cigarettes, too much beer. John Daly was fun to watch, so he could bomb it.
I mean, you don't – it's crazy, like, how fit they all are now, though. It's nuts. I mean, there's only a few guys that aren't super fit. And if there's a guy that's not fit at all, it's like, holy cow, look at this guy.
Well, yeah, Shane Lowry. The Thompson kid?
Johnston,
yeah.
Yeah, with Beef.
Beef. I mean, if your name's Beef, you're probably not going to be in great shape. But no, I mean, it's like, it's completely changed. I mean, even Phil. Phil used to be fat, like fat. He's forced Phil to get in shape.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You're,
That's fine.
How'd your group do?
Not great.
But
Tiger was my first alternate.
Did
so,
the guy who makes the rules have Tiger Woods?
I don't know how that worked. I mean, I'm claiming victory. I wanted Tiger.
And that's how this works.
Well, then they wouldn't let me have him. So I was like, well, that's my first pick, though. And they're like, sorry. I was like, well, then someone said, well, they're grandfathered in if they're elite players. And I was like, okay, well, then I'm grandfathered in with Tiger. He's an elite player. I've watched him all my life.
What does that mean?
Like, certain players, I guess, can get double picked if they're big names or something.
But this is just for bragging rights? It's very confusing.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's just for bragging rights.
It's like the worst fantasy league ever.
Oh, there's no real fantasy. It's a dumb game that I play with my friends. But I wanted Tiger, and he won, so I win.
Okay. Your boy Speed did start 3 under through 4 holes yesterday. Thought maybe he's going to make a move. Because you don't start 3 under. I mean, that was off the front nine, too. Like that's pretty wild. But he fell apart again.
That first round, that 75 he carded on Thursday.
No good.
Just put him right out of the running.
Yeah.
68, 69, 71 on the last three. Not bad. What was the low round of the tournament? Did someone shoot? I mean, Koepka on Thursday shot a 66.
I thought there were, when there were 64?
Yeah, Webb Simpson and Tony Finau on Saturday shot 64s.
Yeah, those were the lowest.
Okay. Yeah, that'll get you in contention. So where does this rank on, like, the comeback meter or the... Like, is this the biggest comeback in sports? And people are comparing it to, like, a series comeback. Like, I mean, he was left for dead in the world of golf.
Mostly by his own doing.
Sure. No, I mean, well, partially his own doing, but then injuries.
That's still his own doing. You bang a hot young chick like Lindsey Vonn, okay. Like you kind of get what's coming to you.
I'm pretty sure the back issues were more golf related, but
in the knee, like what are you doing with what's he doing with his knee with Lindsey Vonn? She's the back widow anyway. I'll give you partial credit for Lindsey Vonn on the back, but the knee, no, I don't think so. I don't know. He was into some weird stuff.
It's hard.
Like the laundry list of girls was like crazy. Like the Denny's waitress, like what's he doing? You're Tiger Woods. All the hookers in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read some of the texts he would send?
No.
Weird guy. Weird guy back in the day. He settled down now. He's got a family. He had a family then, too. I was just kidding. But, it doesn't happen. No one in their respective sport disappears, essentially, for 11 years and then comes back and wins the big one.
It's hard because it's...
It's hard because this is such an individual sport.
Yeah, and even... I mean, I don't know. Like, what... Like golf and tennis kind of go together, right? But you still have to be in a lot. It's still a different athletic type of ability to play tennis, right? Like I mean, like you're not going to be the same person physically 11 years later in tennis, but you can in golf. In fact, guys when they win their first like amateur championship in golf,
the window is much
like
wider.
They're going to peak 11 years later.
Yes,
you know
the
what
window
I mean?
Is wider in golf. No
so
doubt.
So it's really hard to compare that. I mean, I guess we could try and pick out individuals in other sports, in other team sports, that have flourished later in their career. But I mean, I don't think anybody's going to name a player in any sport and go, "Oh yeah, you're definitely right. That's definitely better than Tiger's comeback." It's at least going to be like, "Yeah, that's sort of similar. That's the best you can do."
Golf does allow for a longer window. You can play at a higher level later into your career.
What about
sure.
your curling team, Nate?
What?
Well, I don't remember the guy's name, but didn't make the team.
Oh, Schuster?
Yeah, there you go.
He was out for like, what, one Olympics?
The gold medal.
I guess that's 8 years, and then he wins gold, right? Didn't he make the Olympics, not make the Olympics?
Curling would be a similar sport where you can peak 11 years
Get
later.
Get the hell out of here. Similar.
Good call by you,
It's
Davey.
A team sport.
It is a team sport. We'll come back. We'll chew on that a little bit. We're going to get into some Tennessee talk as well on the program today, of course.
We're going to chew on the curling?
No, on the comeback.
Okay.
On the comeback.
We're chewing on stuff. It's fine.
It's a Monday edition of 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. I guess you can tweet us your biggest comeback stories now. Two of the first three entries are fake movie characters.
Fictional movie characters.
I don't know. It pales in comparison. But when people first brought that up yesterday, I thought of Andre Agassi. I just remember him like bursting onto the tennis scene with his long hair. Like wearing colored stuff at Wimbledon or trying to when you're not allowed to, kind of winning, almost like a one-hit wonder, kind of getting fame and fortune, and then his tennis just went to crap because he just kind of fell apart, and then he had to almost like rededicate himself to the sport, and then he comes back and wins, you know, multiple majors later, but still that career wasn't nearly how I remember necessarily, and it still was only, I mean, it was like 11 years from his first Wimbledon title in 1992 to his final Grand Slam win at the Australian Open in 2003, but all of his majors came within that 11-year period.
I remember we talked about this last year. Did you think he'd win another major when we talked about this last year? I think it was over the summer. Was it the Players where he almost won?
I thought he did win.
What was the major he almost won last summer? He led on the back nine, and then who did he lose to? I think he lost to Koepka.
Koepka, yeah. No, Koepka held him off, I think. Wasn't Tiger charging or something?
But he had a lead at one point on Sunday.
Really?
It may have been, you know, he was a couple of groups ahead and took a lead, and then Koepka started and got it right down.
I think you ran a poll for Sweet Peas asking if Tiger would ever win again.
Do you remember the results?
I can't remember what I said.
I remember what I said, but it was based off of no information related. It was just to take a jab at Houston.
What'd you say?
I was just like, there's no way in hell he's ever going to win one again, just to make you mad because you were kind of in his corner.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
I think I said I could see him winning another one, but I couldn't see him catching Jack. I think that's what I said, but I could be wrong.
Davey, good job by you. August 13th, 2018, the Sweet Peas Barbecue poll question was, does Tiger Woods win a major in 2019? 70% said yes, 2,000 votes. 70% of the audience.
Wow.
Are immediately correct after the first major of 2019.
That's crazy. I think I might have said I'd be surprised if he won this year, but I thought he still might win one.
I think that is what you said. Yeah. I think you said it might not be 2019, but I think he's got one more left in the tank somewhere.
But I don't think he'd catch Jack. I think that's what I said. But now, yeah, I don't know. That's the thing about golf, though. Like, unlike, obviously, team sports are very different. And even in tennis, like, you just have to beat it's like the NCAA tournament. You just have to beat you have to be better than the person in front of you every day.
Right.
Instead of being better than everyone all cumulatively.
Yeah, that's what makes golf so different. I mean, you could shoot an 80 on the first day. You could have the worst round in the entire tournament on the first day. But if you go crazy the next three, you can still win it.
Yep.
But it's really hard to do that. Like, consistency matters. That's why it's a four-day tournament. I think that, in a way, makes it even more impressive and more difficult.
No, it's definitely more difficult. I mean, there are golfers that are dominant in their era. But, like, if you look at tennis, like, there's someone that's always dominant in tennis because they're just better than everybody. And so when you play one-on-one, like, if you played Tiger versus most of these guys in the field in one situation, especially during his run, he would have won many more championships.
Sure. But now, like, if it was Tiger and Koepka, 18 holes, the match, part two, like, you're not feeling great about Tiger, are you?
No. I feel like he's more...
I feel like you'd get down to, like, the 20th best player in the world before you'd start saying, all right, I feel pretty good here.
Right.
But he did it against everybody. For 4 days. At a golf course that is, like, well, I mean, you said it, like, it kind of suits him, but it's still challenging. It's still Augusta. So I don't know. I don't know if him winning it at Augusta is poetic or if, like, of course that's the one he would win because this golf course kind of suits him a little bit more. Does he have another one this year, you think? Got another one in the tank? Where's the British Open this year?
Well, speaking of that, Brad called in and wanted to, if you addressed this while I was on the phone, just stop me, but that Tiger, his one comeback last year was during the British Open, and that was on the back nine. He didn't ultimately win it. But I think that's...
Okay, the British is where he was down and took a lead, and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say that's... Malinari won it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I believe got us started on that conversation last year.
Where's the British Open this year?
I don't know.
I love it when it's at St. Andrews. That's where I want it all the time.
No.
No?
Okay. I'll make sure I get the right year.
That'd be good.
This says Royal Portrush.
No idea. Man, 2 in a year's kind of a lot to ask for, though.
Yeah.
So what's he at now? Is that 14? 14 majors. Jack's at 18, so he needs 4 more to tie.
I think that's right.
How are you feeling about that number if you're Jack Nicklaus waking up today?
Oof.
I mean, 10 years ago, it was sorry, like it's gone. Like he's gonna come and he's gonna steal yep. all your records. There's and now 11 years later, only adds one, but he added it yesterday, and he added it at Augusta. I think we're starting to have the conversation now where maybe that's back in play, if he can stay healthy. Obviously, that goes for everybody in any sport, but obviously with his previous issues, I just think it feels different. Like the new Tiger feels different. The way he played the game yesterday, young Tiger took a lot of chances, and that's what made him great because with his physical ability, a lot of times that just worked out for him. Now he doesn't have quite the physical ability. He can't take as many chances. He's having to play a more reserved, smarter brand of golf. I can't figure this out, though. Like, I don't know if that's going to be a long-term thing that can keep him right at the top against some of these young guys. Because that's what you've got to hold off now, is guys like Dustin Johnson, Fowler, Spieth, like guys that get hot for a tournament, and they just have a course that suits their eye. They're rolling the ball good on the greens. I think it can work, though, because he's still got just 15 majors. So it's 18 to 15. So it's now 3 to tie.
Right.
Okay. Shouts out to Reed in Florida for the note. He's 43. Jack better look out.
43.
He's got the taste now. It's like lions in Africa. They don't kill humans, but then when they do, that's all they want to eat.
He's a tiger, though.
Well, it's a cat. Big cat.
Same thing.
It's a big cat. Tigers eat people. They have a big tiger problem in India. Do you know about that? Tigers and jaguar. I think now that he's got the taste, I think he might be a little bit more hungry. Was it weird that he didn't break down and cry? I thought he would be a ball of tears the moment that putt went through. He was just ecstatic. Do you remember when he won the British Open the year his father passed away? He sinks the putt and just waterworks.
I was surprised. I was surprised at some point he didn't break
down. I was very surprised. He did a little bit in the big media session, but he wasn't crying. It was just tough for him to get words out from time to time.
Yeah.
But that British Open he won, I mean, it was devastation. Like, he couldn't even talk. It was like when Michael Jordan won the championship after his father passed away. I thought for sure seeing his kids and his mom run out there to give him a big hug, he was just elated. It's almost as if other people made this a bigger, more emotional deal than he did. And that's what makes me think, man, like, he didn't exhaust himself to win this tournament. Does that make sense? Like, I think he just thought, I'm good enough now to win this tournament. I won. I'm really excited. I'm just getting started. And that, to me, is kind of scary if I'm anybody else that's going to see him the rest of the year. Like, he's back. And he's doing it differently, but he's still – I would love to see what the ratings were for the Masters this week.
Oh, I mean, the comparison to when he's
has to
not
be,
been in it or
– Well, not to mention that, and everybody else that was in the top, 20, essentially, big names.
Yeah, and groups of three made it weird, too. Like, it made it more kind of condensed, it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, the groups were playing faster, although it was kind of weird. It took them, 5 hours? To finish the final round? It seemed like maybe it was the staggered start. I'm not sure. It seemed like it took a little bit longer, but
it did
feel like the shots and the movement of angles and cameras and stuff was good. I thought it was really good TV. That was fun. It was a lot of fun. Was that the most watched Masters? Do we think the time change might have messed it up a little bit on Sunday? I bet Sunday viewership was probably down a little bit, but I'd love to see where this one kind of ranked. Because he was in it from start to finish, and this was the one where I think everybody had their eyes on, especially the way he closed last year. Because I know Koepka won the two, but he was kind of right there in it for like four tournaments in a row. I think a lot of people kind of had this Masters circled as, this is one where we're probably going to need to keep an eye on it because think Tiger might be able to make a run, and then of course he did.
Shouts out to Tyler Lane, who we had on Thursday morning, who pointed out that number 5 would be an important hole. Tiger Woods wins the Masters despite bogeying number 5 every single
day. 4 days in a row.
Day.
They said they don't think anybody had ever won a major, bogeying the same hole 4 days in a row.
Tyler even texted me late on Sunday and said, if he loses, it's going to be number five that cost him. We'll come back. Final segment, hour number one of the program. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment, hour number one. I tried to pull up. I forgot about this. I was trying to pull up, like, greatest comeback athletes. I had some random Bleacher Report list. I mean, all these pale in comparison. They all have their own types of things. Like, I just scrolled by Monica Seles. I mean, she got stabbed by a fan that came out of the crowd. I mean, that's a little different. I don't know. Tiger has his own story. The golf club to the windshield, like all that stuff.
Windshield. And knee. And face.
Yeah.
Wait, who got stabbed?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard this story. Who got stabbed?
Monica Seles, the tennis player.
Stabbed?
Yeah, some crazy German who is a fan of Steffi Graf jumped out of the crowd and stabbed her at a tournament.
Stabbed?
Yeah. Like, to the hospital. Like, out for a while.
Since I don't know these names, how long ago are we talking here?
Not that long, like 15, 20 years?
I mean, I feel like I was an older kid, maybe. I don't know. High school.
Like I said, 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
In 1991, she was number one in the world rankings. At the time, the youngest woman ever to do that. But in 1993, when many felt she was at her peak, a deranged man reached over a courtside railing and plunged a blade in her back.
In her back?
Monica disappeared from the tennis scene for more than 2 years.
Two.
When she did come back, she won the Canadian Open and then
Tiger got
Australia
stabbed
Open.
In the back.
I mean, you got to keep an eye out on those Germans.
Back surgery, blades, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just saying, back surgery. A little different. I don't think anything else really compares. As Davey mentioned, a lot of it's self-imposed, but still. Still kind of a thing. I think like the soul searching is maybe even more interesting than the injury being overcome. Like he's changed who he is. He's not a big jerk anymore. He laughs, he jokes during tournaments with people. He was pretty damn serious on Sunday, but naturally.
So this list I had pulled up?
Yes.
It's from 2011.
Mhm.
Guess who number 1 is?
Peyton.
No.
That's a good one though.
No.
That would have been a year after.
This is a very Like you know this guy. It's another individual sport. Very, very popular, but very, like...
How about you just tell us?
Oh, wait. He never really had a comeback. Never mind. I was going to say Oscar Pistorius, but...
Mike Tyson?
Lance Armstrong.
Nope, cheated. No. Doped. No.
Oh, you said 2011. Yeah. I'm way off.
No.
They point out...
Can't give it to him. Sorry.
That's the whole cancer story. Of course, since 2011, right, more of the stories
things
come out.
Things have happened.
Right. I don't know. They were talking this morning about Ben Hogan having the car crash, I guess. Broken clavicle, fractured ribs, a complete pelvic fracture. They told him he wouldn't walk again. And he won three majors in 1 year after that. So anyway, that's
pretty
best,
good.
That's your best golf comparison. But no, I'm with you. I think there's very, it's just almost impossible to do this in team sports. I mean, first of all, if you come back, let's say you come back at the same level you were 11 years prior, like none of your teammates are the same, right? Like you'd have to deal with a whole different group of people if you're in a team sport. And, you know, golf's just one of the few sports where you could even do that. So I think in a way it's, now we'll have to see, I guess, how, you know, if this is it, if he somehow like falls apart and, or if he's just pretty good for a while, but that doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen. Feels like he is at worst going to be in contention for a while now. Like kind of like a regular top 20 guy.
That's what
worst
I
case.
That's what it felt like to me. Like Chuck in Atlanta tweets and he says, "The question I wondered was, did this win take a lot out of him or does it fuel him? He looked like a guy who was just getting started again."
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he celebrated it wasn't like relief, like, "Oh, finally I did it, I can relax." He was like, "All right, fools, I am ready to go, and now you're going to have to deal with me for a while."
Might have a new name to add to that list coming up. Will Wade.
No.
The comeback cat.
Talk about self-imposed. If you're not going to give Tiger credit because he cheated on his wife, you can't give Will Wade credit for talking on the damn phone to old what's-his-name and getting busted.
How long was Tiger out of golf completely?
Like out?
For his longest stretch, like not playing at all.
Wasn't it like 4 years?
He didn't play golf at all for 4 years.
He couldn't swing a club. That's what he was saying yesterday. He's like, "Until today, all my kids knew about me in golf was that it hurt me to do it." He's like, "I'd swing a club and I'd be on the ground for hours."
It is funny that, like, all the people watching yesterday, a lot of the younger, like, dads pulling their kids in, like, they never, "Oh, yeah, this is that guy dad talks about."
Right.
But we've never seen him actually win. Clay Travis said this morning, "This is the guy that dad talks about who never wins." That was Tiger Woods until yesterday.
Yesterday felt, it was weird, really.
For it to happen in the Masters, too, is great to be the first one. Now there's so many, all these opportunities come up later. And I mean, Augusta definitely suits his eye the best out of any of these courses. It wouldn't shock me if he's not, if he, you know, is in contention maybe a little bit the rest of this year, but it isn't there at the end because these other courses are so different. But now that he's proven it and he's won, obviously everybody will be talking about it moving forward. When we come back, we'll kick off hour number two. We got to get into some Tennessee spring game conversation. We'll hit that next right here on 3 and Out.